You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We are back. It's good to have you with us for the second half of the show. Can we top the first half with Stephen A. Smith running for president of the United States? Why not? Brett McMurphy is joining us next. Brett, of course, with the Action Network, some big stories over the last couple of days about what could be happening next in the Big Ten. Brett, good to have you on. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Good to talk to you again.
So tell us about it. What's going on?
The Big Ten's not done. You know, I reported back in July, sources told me they weren't done expanding. I'm still hearing that same information. And then yesterday I reported that Oregon has initiated discussions with the Big Ten to see if the Ducks are compatible with the Big Ten. And, you know, I think some people may have been not clear on my report yesterday, because I did mention that Oregon's president, AD, and Kevin Warren were not at the meeting. So people were like, well, then why are they meeting? Well, this is the first step along the process to add Oregon to the Big Ten. And basically, at this point, it's lawyers and people getting together and making sure, I guess a play on words, all the ducks are in a row. And, you know, the reason it's out now is, you know, I've been reporting the Big Ten would likely expand. I think others have too. And then Kevin Warren has been very upfront about this. He's got an interview airing tonight on HBO with HBO Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, where taped last week, Bryant Gumbel asked him, do you foresee the Big Ten going to 20 schools? He didn't say maybe. He didn't say possibly. He didn't say I'll think about it. He said yes. And that's what I've been hearing for over the past month. And the biggest criticism of adding USC and UCLA is putting those student athletes out on an island. Well, how do you solve that problem? You add four more schools from the Pac-12, and that takes care of any travel concerns. And I think the Big Ten gets the 20 schools, and I would think they would want to bring them in the same time as SC and UCLA before the 2024 season.
And Brett, this comes up at a time when some are saying, well, the Pac-12's in really good shape. All these contracts are negotiations are about to start. But you hear a lot of the same things that I hear, I'm sure. And there, you know, people in the industry aren't very upbeat on the Pac-12. And you just gave the best reason for it, because it looks like schools are trying to bail.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Paul. And I cover college realignment. You know, I've been doing it a long time. And to be honest, I hate it, because I hate what it's done to college athletics. But, you know, you can remember, it wasn't too long ago, we had the six AQ conferences, the so-called power conferences back then. The Big East was one of those six. Well, what happened? They got raided by the ACC, and then now we're left with the Power Five. The same thing, I think, unfortunately, is going to happen with the Pac-12. They're going to lose four schools to the Big Ten, and then I think four schools out of the Pac-12, the Arizona schools, Utah, and Colorado, take a lifeline to go to the Big 12, and then there's no more Pac-12, and then we'll be left with four power conferences. Although realistically, there's only two there's only two power conferences now, King Kong and Godzilla, and I guess your SEC fans can figure out whether they want to be King Kong or Godzilla. Big Ten will be the other one. And everyone else is just trying to survive at this point.
Brett, in the event that this all happens, and certainly I know you're hearing a lot of chatter about it, what else would happen then? Because you just you now have 16, I think that's right, or 17. Yeah. I've lost track, really. You have to continue to add, and then there's a domino effect with the King Kong Godzilla scenario, is there not?
Yeah, there is, Paul. And the Big Ten is at 16 after adding USC and UCLA, so four more would be 20. Obviously, if they can get Notre Dame, they would take Notre Dame in a heartbeat. Even if they're at 20, they would still add Notre Dame. You know, the dream scenario for the Pac-12 would be if Notre Dame could come in with these other Pac schools, then you just take three of them, you get the 20. And then the obvious question you just asked, what happens with the SEC? The SEC, I think, would also want to get the 20. The challenge for the SEC is their top targets are all in the ACC. And as you know, they have their granted rights for 14 more years. However, if any what somehow, some way, somebody from the ACC can figure out a way to get out of the granted rights, then I would expect the SEC to look very seriously at North Carolina, at Virginia, out of Clemson, and out of Florida State. And make no mistake, everyone I talk to, everyone I talk to in the ACC, I'm not saying I've talked to everyone in the ACC, but those that I've talked to in the ACC said, you know, they've got people that are, they're looking at this grant of rights and they're looking at this ESPN contract and trying to see if there's some way, if there's some loophole that they can get out, because if not, they're stuck in there for another 14 years. And I know you're a huge fan of Meatloaf, who isn't, but it's like his song Paradise by the Dashboard Light. I'll love you till the end of time. Well, I'm praying for the end of time. That's what the ACC schools are doing right now, is praying for the end of the grant of rights.
So Brett, since you don't work there any longer, I'll ask you this question, but it's a pretty important piece of the puzzle. SEC is tied to ESPN. ACC is tied to ESPN. So untangle this web for us, and how could ESPN make things easier?
Paul, I don't know how they could make things easier, because, look, Greg Sankey is going to do what's best for the SEC. Jim Phillips is going to do what's best for the ACC. Well, if what's best for the SEC is to add four schools from the ACC, and they're able to do that, then they would do that. And then what happens? Well, ESPN would have to renegotiate their deal because of the increase in membership and the added value. So ESPN would do that in good faith with the SEC, but then they would have to go to the ACC, and probably they would have to devalue their media rights deal because it wouldn't have the same membership. They would do the same thing whether it was any other conferences. And you bring up a great point. It just makes it a little awkward when ESPN is so heavily invested in both conferences. But, you know, everyone works in their own silos. I don't think, you know, some people has the conspiracy theory, well, ESPN's doing this or that. They're not doing it. The conferences are coming to ESPN. They're coming to Fox. They're coming to whoever and say, if we add schools A, B, C, and D, what does that do for the value of our media rights? What if we add four different schools? What's the value? Then the conferences make the decision. Nobody forced Texas and Oklahoma to join the SEC. That was the decision those two schools made based on the future of those universities. So it would be tricky, though, if the SEC did take schools from the ACC because of both of their conferences' relationship with ESPN.
Talking to Brett McMurphy. Brett, there's so many other tributaries of all this. So let me ask you about the CFP. You know, we got the prosaic announcement the other day where they're going to end up playing in the next couple of years. But what are they going to do? Because there's so many things that have happened since January when the commissioners voted this thing down, and some of those commissioners who voted down the expansion now are thirsty for more money.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it there. I mean, it's all dependent on money. And that's, people want to figure this out. Well, we want to go 8, we want to go 12, we want to go 16. What's going to make the most money? And that's that. Then they'll give you the reasons why they're going to that number. I think what's going to be fascinating to follow is, like you said, they just officially announced the final two sides for the last two championship games. So what that means is that we are stuck with four teams for the last 4 years. They cannot change that. They've already locked in the championship date. Going forward, everyone to a man and a woman that are commissioners say they are in favor of expanding the playoff. But then it gets tricky when you get into the details. How many are we expanding to? Is it 8? Is it 12? Is it 16? The SEC and Greg Sankey have been very clear. They don't believe conference champions should get an automatic bid. The Big Ten, the SEC, the Pac-12 has said they prefer that. Now, Kevin Warren is backing off of that a little bit, but that's something that has to be decided. And how much weight does the Big Ten and SEC carry in those meetings when they are much more valuable than any other conferences in that meeting? That's something that will play out behind closed doors. But ultimately, you know, we talked earlier about possibly Notre Dame in the Big Ten. I think one reason, not the only reason, but one reason the SEC doesn't want conference champions to get an automatic bid to the college football playoff is because if you limit the college football playoff, the conference champions, or there's a huge affiliation based on conference membership, then the SEC would kind of be forcing Notre Dame to go to the Big Ten. And I'm sure if they had their choice, they'd prefer Notre Dame staying independent than join forces with the Big Ten.
Brett McMurphy, some great information here. The season is upon us, but the off season never dies, does it?
Remember when college football was only from like August to January?
Yes.
Can you remember? I can't remember that far back either, but it used to be. But now it's becoming NFL-like on the field, I'm afraid, with these mega conferences. I don't like that. And it is becoming NFL-like in that it's a year-round news cycle now.
Well, and nobody closer to it than you are. Brett, it's always great to have you on. We really appreciate it. We head to the break right now, and we will get back to your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here on a Tuesday afternoon. Billy is up next in Philly. Hey, Billy.
Hi, Paul. I wanted to give you the journalism's highest award for saving a situation that really wasn't going brilliantly. That question that you asked about would you run for president was one of the most stunningly clever ways to save an interview, which was not going anywhere, about a book that doesn't really matter very much, about a guy who is very much a one-trick pony, there ever was one. And you got calls, you got everything. I mean, you made a show out of a screwball interview. You got awards for that.
Well, thank you. I always wonder about this show sometimes. I mean, I wonder what the purpose of me being here every day is. And that has now been confirmed.
He took the bait.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the platitudes, but let me say this, just between us, Billy, knowing Stephen A., it was like stealing, though. I don't think the Pulitzer Committee is going to award me for doing anything other than feeding cheese to the mouse.
It was brilliant. By the way, while I have you for a minute, John Talty's book about Saban,
yes,
is a very, very, very good book. I encourage it for your listeners because a lot of your listeners are like me. They're older men. And older men like to know how you really run things, how you get things done. And this book is very inspiring. I've given it to friends. They like it. I've got young people buying it because I think it's a great thing for them to teach them the focus and stuff. That book is excellent, and I think it serves useful purposes for certain kinds of people, that's all.
No, I'm glad you said that. I was with John yesterday, and he had a really interesting concept. And, you know, he lays it out, but he supports it with all the people that were around Nick Saban throughout his career.
Oh, yeah, wow.
And,
I mean,
it's extremely well done.
These $35,000 counselor jobs were really clever. And frankly, you know, anybody who's been successful, I mean, you've done it, you've been successful, I've had this experience. It's when you hire an old guy that nobody wants, that you happen to know is really good. It is very satisfying. They almost never let you down, and they deliver. And frankly, that's a story that old people want to hear because they've all been through that. Most of us have anyway.
No,
somebody
well,
gives them a break when they're not doing well.
No, well said. Well, Billy, I'm glad you mentioned that because I feel very strongly about the book, as you know.
Good for you. I think you should. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Let's continue. Dave is in Missouri.
Well, hi, Paul. Thank you for taking my call again.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, me and Peggy loved the interview you had with Stephen A., and it doesn't really surprise me that he is running for president because he is Sonny Corinto's right-hand man. Do you know who Sonny is?
Hold on just a second. Randy, you know who Sonny Corinto is?
I do not.
Neither one of us know.
Okay. He's Sonny from General Hospital.
Oh, my goodness. I knew there was something in there. Yeah. For those who don't know, and Stephen A. is a recurring player on General Hospital. Doesn't he play a mobster?
Well, Sonny's a mobster, and Brick is the right-hand man that digs up dirt on everybody else.
Oh,
in fact, and his name's Brick, and he dug up stuff just last week on a guy named Dex.
Yeah, the only time I have seen General Hospital in the last 35 years is when we used to do this show in New York. I don't know if you remember. With the studio we used was Stephen A.'s radio studio. His show ended right before ours, and he was always watching General Hospital. Until then, I had not seen General Hospital since Luke and Laura got married.
Yeah, now that was a long time ago.
That was
ago.
About 40 years ago.
Yeah, it was. But, sometime, I know you're really busy, but if you want to see Stephen A., just watch General Hospital. He'll be on there.
Well, I will do that. And what do you think? You think I would be a good character on a soap?
Oh, absolutely.
I think I would. I mean, I look kind of like every man, don't I? Like that. Like, I mean, I look like the bad guy in every movie ever made.
Yeah.
Not the bad guy, but the guy,
the
bad guy's lawyer. Okay, back to the calls. Ron is up next in Virginia. Crooked lawyers. Ron is in Virginia.
Paul.
Hey there.
I've been on this show many a times. Proud of it. Just want to tell you.
Thank you.
That your show is America's show. Okay? They always talk about the Dallas Cowboys being the America's team. Paul, you are America's team. And the reason why I say that is anybody, I'm not downing the young lady that was sitting in your seat, but you are phenomenal.
Thank you.
I just received the book, The Leadership Secrets of Nick Saban. I have not read it, Paul. I'm going to tell you a little story about what Nick Saban said. I admire the man. He's 70 years old. He said his daddy owned a gas station, and him and his brother worked in the gas station with his dad. He said, when my daddy said something, I did exactly what my daddy, me and my brother did exactly what he told us to do. You know what he said after that? I admire the man. He said, I have to try to instill this in my players, meaning when I tell them something, this is exactly what I want. It's a challenge for him. Now, I'm going to go to top four for the college playoffs.
Okay.
The Big Ten can get their TV shows deals. They can get Oregon. They can get UCLA. They can get USC. Okay? I look at the coaches, and I look at the teams. The SEC is phenomenal in defense. You watch the hits. I've watched them. It's different than any other conference. Your helmet's going to come off. Nick Saban, okay, last year had backup players playing against Georgia. Right. Nothing against Kirby Smart. I feel sorry, Paul, for Texas A&M. I hope Nick Saban's listening to me. It's going to be embarrassment. Okay, this man, okay, grew up with nothing. Okay, a lot of people, you know, they down him or whatever. They get Ohio State at number two. You're going to lock this. I'm a Big Ten man, but we're all honest. Okay? If it was Urban Meyer, I would say go Buckeyes. But with Ryan Day being from New Hampshire, it's not going to happen. And going on the college football expansion team, you're going to like this. And I don't want it. And I'll tell you why I don't want it. It'll be half the teams or three-quarters of the teams from the SEC. The Big Ten can bring in Oregon, UCLA, USC. Good for them. Okay? Paul, you know and I know. And my wife's got something to let you know who's going to win the national championship. And that's all I got to say.
Well, Ron, thank you very much for that enlightenment. We are going to take a break. We'll talk to the Missouri athletic director top of the next hour. We had Stephen A. Smith on about an hour ago. He announced he's running for president of the United States. We're coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Larry is in Waco. Hello, Larry.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
About a year ago, I actually had a chance to talk to you in regards to recruiting and if we ever had an idea as to why that the kids, calling them kids, 17, 18-year-olds, make their decision, was it geographics or, you know, the location or the coaches or the schools? Well, now it's thrown another twist in it with the NIL, of course, and the transfer portal has even added to that scenario. Do you know if anybody's actually examining looking into, you know, what's making these kids make these moves or making their decisions. It seemed like to me a school would be very interested in knowing, you know, what is attracting these kids. And I just wanted your 2 cents worth on it.
Yeah, I don't think there would be what I would call scientific data other than some of the obvious things you would conclude, that because it's available, players are taking advantage of it the second that something doesn't go their way. I think it's all about youth and opportunity. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Michael in Baltimore is up next. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well.
So diehard Gamecock here, and I know we got something to look forward to hopefully this football season, but what keeps me up at night is we talk about conference realignment. You know, we're always talking about where schools can add, and we know football is the big moneymaker, but you look at a school like us, or let's take a Vanderbilt in the SEC too. I mean, you know, we haven't done well in baseball in a decade with back-to-back championships, and we might be the only place where women's basketball is making money. Is there a point in time where the big conferences, especially if we move to 4 major conferences at 20 teams, start to look at, you know, forget the SEC just poaching the top 4 you and Brett were talking about from the ACC, where they look at, the SEC looks at a Vanderbilt and a South Carolina and says, you know what, kick rocks, we're going to take NC State and Virginia Tech or something like that. You know, I guess the little guys who aren't the biggest money generators, that's just my concern.
Yeah, I understand the question. I don't think so. There really is a bond of loyalty within a conference like the SEC. And when you get right down to it, a school like Vanderbilt, while it hasn't won, doesn't really hurt the conference. It still competes in a lot of things well. It does help the reputation and the academic standing of the league. And yeah, when they're losing 40-0, it makes the games less than attractive. But ultimately, the league is so big, so powerful, and is making so much money that the downside right now is very negligible. It would be stunning if the SEC or any conference for that matter decided to kick somebody out.
All right, awesome. Last question, I'll leave you be. You think Beamer pull off north of 6 wins this year?
I do. And I don't think it's necessarily easy because the schedule is very difficult, but I think he'll get to 7. I really am not overly confident he'll get beyond that because I think the challenge is so intense. Last year, to steal the cliche we've all used repeatedly, he got a little bit ahead of himself. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. Let's check out Austin in Kentucky. Hello, Austin.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. First time, long time. I'm honored to be on the show. Thank you for having me. I just want to ask, what are your predictions for Mark Stoops going down to the Swamp in week 2? You know, he's been here 10 years. Things are starting to look up for the program. But the Swamp's a tough place to play. Billy Napier coming new year head coach. He's got a lot of rebuilding to do. I think Stoops goes down and gets it done. What about you?
Yeah, listen, I'm not avoiding questions like that, which are difficult. And a lot of people that do what I do are answering them with predictions. But I just think it's really difficult to call that game until you have the data from the first game of Florida, and that's the game I'm interested in. What does Florida look like? Does Anthony mm-hmm. Richardson have compliments around him? What difference is Billy Napier making in year one? And they have such a difficult test in the Utah game that I think that's an easier prediction than it is today. Yeah, I can see Florida losing that game. I can see them starting off 0-2. I know people are making arguments that they could start off with 2 wins. I don't see that, but I'd rather wait until I see the first game. Thank you for the call. Really do appreciate it. Let's check out Corky in Fort Worth. Hello, Corky.
Hey, what's up, Paul? Long time, brother.
Thank you.
I just want to just chime back in. Since last year I talked to you, kind of a little mad at you for putting Notre Dame down. But you know, one thing
let me say this. So I walk in this event last night and see Lou Holtz, and he says the exact same thing. And I'm like, going, calm down, Lou. But it was just a flippant comment. I have tremendous respect for Marcus Freeman. I just don't think that's a terrible game to open the season with. And I think that puts them at a real disadvantage having to go to Columbus.
And I really respect you. And that's why I really respect you, because you're honest. I don't want to hear it, but you're honest. I feel the same way. I don't feel like we should be a top five team for sure. I don't feel like we have a chance against them. Maybe we can keep it close, but you're telling the honest truth about it.
People misconstrue what we do. I mean, I think the question that I was asked was who doesn't belong in the top five? And to me, the obvious, that there were two answers, frankly, and Notre Dame was the first one I gave. There was another one as well. I'm not so new to the business that I'm going to say what I said was blown out of proportion. I'm well aware of the vehicle that I was in when I said it, but I think too often fans construe things like that as hate when all we're doing is answering a question.
And you know, you do be honest, and a lot of fans is going to take it that way. That I know you now for years, that I don't take it that way. I know exactly what you were saying, and you're right about it, but I'm a Notre Dame diehard. I'm going to Columbus next week, and I'll be in Austin at the Alabama-Texas game, so I hope to see you at one of those games.
Well, thank you. Corky, I would love to be up in Buckeye Land week one. Hey, thank you. You got a pretty good opening 2 weeks of the schedule. I envy you. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We're heading to a break. We have the athletic director from Mizzou on at the top of the next hour. We've been busy this afternoon. Stephen A. Smith dropped by, Brett McMurphy, and more guests to come right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet?
Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. We appreciate you being here, and let's continue with more phone calls. JJ in Arkansas, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, I just want your honest prediction on what do you think the Hogs are going to do this season? There's a lot of talk, I know, over on the East. And I know they're, you know, West and East, obviously, but Kentucky and Tennessee and, you know, KJ last year was 13th rating quarterback, and then all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, he's the next little Cam Newton. But I just want to hear your honest take on what we're going to do this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think 9-3 is probably the ceiling I would have. Now, I don't think that would be easy. I really like this Arkansas team. I like everything about the program. It's, you know, let me be the last one to talk about the challenge of the schedule. And what I mean by that is A&M, Alabama, and Mississippi State in a row. Those are all treacherous games. The BYU game, I absolutely hate that game. I don't ever think you should play in the current structure a non-conference road game at that point of the season, and you come back, you get a little break, and then you're at Auburn. Who knows what that means? I think the rest of the season is a little bit more manageable, but it's really that late September, early October run that I think will dictate where this season goes for the Razorbacks. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Steve is also in Arkansas. Hey, Steve.
Hi, first time caller, and thank you. I'm sorry to get two Arkansas guys in a row, but guess what? You basically just answered the exact same questions I was going to ask, except for just entertain the idea of what kind of tidal wave would happen if the Razorbacks should end up with a 3-0 start.
Well, that would be pretty significant, and I do think I think it's doable. So I think, yeah, I know Arkansas fans are talking about the Alabama game. Is that winnable? But to me, the A&M game is going to help shape the season, much like the A&M game did last year. I remember being out there that first weekend or the second weekend with Texas. Texas was a statement game, but it really, in some ways, was not as important as A&M. Beating A&M really, you know, ended that streak and propelled Arkansas to be in the position that I think it ended up going. It there was some bumpy day. I mean, I still think that Auburn game was almost unforgivable, how poorly the Razorbacks played. But ultimately, they made up for it big time later in the year. Hey, thank you so much for the call. Chad is in North Carolina. Hello, Chad.
Hey, Paul. Calling you from Greenville, North Carolina. How you doing, sir?
We are doing great. How about you?
Man, this is the best present I could get. I'm on the phone with Paul Feinbaum.
Well, thank you. Somebody told me it was your birthday today, so let us all blow the candles out for you and wish you a happy birthday.
Man, I really appreciate it. I do. I listen to you every day. I don't always get through, but I love the common sense, and I love the extreme as well from some of the callers. I hadn't never said it before, but I like hearing Jim call in when he's not too out there, and I like Daryl, and I also like the Bama fan that drinks a lot of beers.
Oh yeah, Larry. Chad, let me ask you the obvious question: what are you doing on your birthday?
I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I'm sipping on a little bit of whiskey.
You know, well, I wish I had a sip right now. Randy, can you take care? Can you dip into your reserve over there and give me two fingers of Jack Daniels, okay?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, by the way, I'm asking this for a friend, Chad. Is there a better way to watch this show than with a little shot glass to your side?
A little snort of the good stuff.
Hey, it'll either make you stupid crazy or very smart.
Yeah, well, I shouldn't say this, but one day I think I'm just going to come in here snookered and see if the show's any better.
Absolutely.
I don't think it could hurt the show any, do you?
No, I mean, hey, get Larry on there with you.
I mean, now it's always easy to remember yourself, but I remember back in college when I did things like that. I always thought I was hilarious at parties.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if anybody else did, but I always thought I was the life of the party, even though I could barely stand up. Now that I'm stone sober, it's not quite as funny. Hey, happy birthday. Are you ready to talk to somebody we haven't talked to in a while?
Sure.
And I think this guy is one of the most cerebral, erudite callers that we have. Can you guess who it is? Have not heard from him in a while, but he puts things in such perfect order.
Charles from Real Time.
Wish. Great articulation. Bama Nick is next.
Hey, Paul Feinbaum in the mouth of the South. How you doing?
Bama Nick.
Yeah, I guess you ain't doing too good the way you answered my call.
Bama Nick, let me cut to the chase. If we go to your call, that means one thing. There are no other calls on the board.
You're going to fire me from the show again? You told Jeff from Columbus 3 weeks ago I'm no longer a part of the show.
It's either you or read obituaries from the newspaper.
Yeah, you told Jeff. Well, Bam and Nick's no longer part of the show. I ain't never quit the show, Fine Bomb. You know that.
Now you're talking some sass. I like that.
I went to the transfer portal.
You did?
Yeah. And I mean, that's the only reason, you know, I quit calling. You know, I quit calling for a lot of months, but I had a lot of other things that went on, you know. So my brother died in May, and I had to go through a lot of that, but he was younger than me.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.